Loud and chipper. I like that. How's Andy doing, ma'am?
Solomon healed and whole in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all been prophesying over yourself? Over your spouses?
Yes.
Over your lives? Over your children? Over your schools?
Grandchildren.
Over this nation? Have you been prophesying? Have you been speaking the word? If not, get started. Amen. If you got your Bibles, open up to Philippians. This is the road to demask us. It's kind of an identity series, if you were to say. It says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. We're going to stay on that for a little bit. I'm going to switch it up every now and then, okay? Paul is writing this letter from prison, and yet here he is talking about rejoicing in the Lord. In prison, he's telling the church to rejoice. No matter what your circumstance, it wasn't worse than Paul's. Being persecuted for what he believed in, being persecuted for getting thrown in prison for preaching the gospel and telling the truth and trying to help people's lives, he gets thrown in jail for it. And yet here he is telling people to rejoice in the Lord. No matter what we're going through in our lives, we talked about it, rejoice in the Lord, in the Lord. Too many times we get so focused on what we are going through and whether or not God is going to bail us out. John was that way, John the Baptist. He sent his disciples to go ask if Jesus was the one or shall we wait for another. Now, God already showed John who Jesus was. He already testified about it. But yet, he was getting ready to die. And now here he is trying to, hey, is he the one? Because I'm in jail. I'm in prison, and I need some help here. And his focus was kind of a little bit on him at that time. And sometimes we can get that way. And all the stuff that we're going through, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And Paul is telling us to rejoice. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. If Paul didn't get tired of saying these things to one another, we shouldn't either. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Says verse 2, watch out for those dogs. Other signs will say, you know, other translations will say, beware of dogs. Y'all ever seen one of those signs coming up to somebody's house when you're younger? They don't put them on as much. I don't see them as much. And yet I hear a lot of dogs. I deliver sometimes and I hear a dog and I don't see a sign says beware of dogs. So I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to hand it to them. And every time they open up their door, their dog is ready to run out. So I'm going to knock on the door, and I'm a hightail it, or I'm going to boot this thing on over. I'm going to give him a holy drop kick.
I like that.
It says, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. We have a woke nation now. Or people who are woke. You know what woke stands for? Willingly overlooking known evil. We don't want to be woke. We want to be awake. We're alive in Christ, but we don't want to be woke. It says, other versions may say, beware of dogs. Okay. Nowadays, people don't put that sign up anymore. They don't put it up. They need to put it up. If you got a dog, put it up. Put it up. If your dog, it don't matter. My wife goes and does all these visits, and I'm telling you, there's so many pets. It's like Funny Farm out there. And here's the thing. I'm not a dog lover. My family is a dog lover. They love Rottweilers and stuff like that and every which way. I just don't like when they jump on me and then get all up on me. And what makes you think that I want to kiss you in the mouth? I don't want to do that. That's your dog. But it's good. It's good to have a dog, I guess. That's another level of stuff right there. See, these men, these evil men were telling others if they want to belong to Christ, they have to be circumcised. It's not true. Circumcision without true belief in Jesus was basically mutilation. That was the Old Testament law on how to be saved and sanctified. These teachers were trying to combine faith and works as a way of getting saved and staying right with God. We understand that we have right standing with God because we believe in him. We are saved by grace through faith and not by works, lest any man should boast. Grace was not a part of what they were presenting to the Gentiles. So there is not enough works that a person can do. There's not enough in order to earn right standing with God. Reading our Bibles won't cut it. Going to church every single Sunday won't cut it. And I can probably beat everybody in here. And we went to church on Sundays and even on Friday nights. I miss football games going to church. That was our youth night. Why that was our youth night, I don't know. But I didn't get to go to football games until my junior year. But here's the thing, that doesn't save us. Wearing Christian t-shirts, jewelry won't help us. God gives us right standing when we believe in Jesus. This is not done. This is done by grace, not works. These teachers were trusting in their works rather than trusting in Jesus. It's easy to do that. Trust in your works. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to go feed the poor. I'm going to get in the soup line. I'm going to go give all my jacked up tennis shoes and clothes a Goodwill and every which way. I'm going to go give that person a dollar on the street corner, stand with them, maybe play some songs with them and everything, and we're going to worship. And all of that doesn't get you right standing with God. It's not about what you do, but it's more so who you know. Verse 3 says this, "For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human efforts." True believers know that a genuine relationship does not happen based upon their works, but it is based upon trust in what Jesus has done for them. We place our confidence in God, not our flesh, to save us. These aren't standards that we may come to know within ourselves, but in order to worship God, but these are standards that have already been established through the new covenant with Jesus. A standard that no person can meet by placing their confidence because of who we are in Christ. In their flesh, sorry. We worship by spirit and truth. We come before the Father because of who we are in Christ. And our identity is found in the world, in the Word, not the world. Our identity is found in the Word, not the world. Like I shared last week, my identity was in hoops. It was in our family being able to be known throughout the city and stuff, but that wasn't my true identity. My identity is in Christ. So if you've been trying to find yourself lately, look no further from the Word. You don't have to go too far. Your identity is found in the living Word. He says, his Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word illuminates our path. Even when we may have wandered in the darkness, we can get back into the Word. And it will begin to illuminate our path on what we are supposed to and who we are supposed to be. Maybe what we are supposed to be doing. But it's best to know who he is first. God's word can help bring clarity to what may look like a dead-end situation. You don't have to necessarily start from scratch. You can start from experience. You know what you like. You know what you don't like. You know who's going to be the people that you need to set up around you. That's going to help you in your walk with Jesus. You don't have to go through all that stuff anymore. You've already been through it. So you know. Your screening process may be a bit different. We don't want to have confidence in our flesh to where it gets us to where we need to be as a believer. Because when we put our confidence in our flesh, we basically cancel out everything that Jesus has done for us in our lives. We end up canceling that out. It says this, verse 4, says, though I have confidence in my own efforts, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Let's go to verse 5, too. I was circumcised. Paul is telling you everything he's done. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. In the flesh, it seems like Paul was more holier than most people. And he had every right to brag about that. But I tell you, if you want to destroy anything that Jesus has done in your life, start comparing. Sometimes it's hard not to do that, but if we want to do that, if we want to destroy, that's a game we can't win because there will always be someone out there who's better than you. You may have fed 5,000 people this year. Somebody may have fed 5,001. They were better if you're going off of your works. But here's the thing. You don't have to Forrest Gump your way through life. If you start doing that, you start trying to inflate what you may have done over your life, you end up Forrest Gumping your life, your way through life. You know how Forrest was standing there on a, if you watched it, he's in a video with Nixon there. Then he's in a video with JFK. He was in the war. He played for Alabama. I mean, we began to make up stuff just to make it look like as if we're just better than other people. You know, you Photoshop yourself with celebrities and presidents, and you went through 3 tours of war. How old are you? I mean, I've been in Vietnam and the Korean War, and they even called me back for Desert Storm. And how old are you? I'm 38. Okay, yeah, sure. Right. You may be able to get by with a few people, but you don't have to force it. Man, I spent 6 months in the Galapagos Island studying rare species. No, you weren't. Man, I tell you, back in the day, I helped them to discover penicillin. All right. Okay. Comparison kills. What Jesus has done for you in your life, and you may believe that you're... And you may believe the more you compare, the more people will see how special you are. But Paul was saying, out of everyone else, I was able to boast most. But yet he put no confidence in his flesh. But if he did, what would be the point of telling other people to rejoice in the Lord? It would be so more so rejoice in yourself. See, you could rejoice in yourself when you're putting confidence in your flesh. But when you're putting confidence in Jesus, you rejoice in the Lord. And you're able to share that with others. He was in prison not because of what he had accomplished in the flesh, but because of his relationship with Jesus. And that is something to rejoice about. See, we may put our own selves in private prisons with the things that may go on. We put ourselves in bondage. But guess what? When people try to put you in prison, which hasn't happened in this nation, thank God, but at the same time, it may get there. Just could keep putting certain people in office. They may get there.
Oh, that's true.
Sure is. All right. If the world hates you because of your faith in Jesus, do not panic, because guess what? You're doing something right. You're on the right track. Don't beat yourself up over that. Jesus created the world, and the world did not know him, and yet he walked and lived among his creation. Some loved him and others hated him. So if they hated him, they're going to hate you. That's natural. Paul didn't want those worldly accomplishments to define who he was. So it's easy to get caught up in that, because you may have plaques and stacked upon plaques in every which way. You may have PhDs and doctorates, and He said, all of that doesn't matter. You may have trophies. We got trophies, my brothers and I, cousins and things. We got trophies upon trophies. That doesn't define us. You may have worked on your job for 70 years since you were 9 years old. Walking through the snow. Uphill. With no shoes on. Both ways. One outfit. All week. There you go. Here's the thing. That doesn't define who you are. When we boast in the Lord. Knowing Jesus is far above all the money in the world, better than everyone around. It's even better than anyone around. Everyone around you kissing up to you. I know people may like that. I'm not a brown nose, even though I may have a brown nose. I don't kiss up. I love you. I don't like people kissing up. Just be real. If you don't like it, just tell me. If you don't like me, cool. I don't like you either. No, it's fine.
Shame on
you. Verse 8. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as what? Garbage. So that I could gain Christ. All of the accomplishments, those spiritual degrees or what have you, compared to knowing Jesus was garbage. It was worthless. I wouldn't say it was a waste of time, but it was worthless. But see, if it wasn't for those things, we wouldn't be talking about the road to Damascus, because he was persecuting the church. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. But this is when Jesus shows up in his life. Knowing Jesus is everything. It's eternal life. Knowing who he is, knowing the Father. When you are at your worst, it's easy to look at your failures and turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you. That's easy to do. And here's the thing, if you've been there, or if you're in that position, turn to Jesus. It's a lot more difficult when everything else is going good. That's when you know. You still turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I need you. I need to hear from you today. Everything could be clicking. I mean, I'm talking about like clockwork. Everything is working the way you want it, and you still take the time out and say, Lord, I need your direction in this. So when it does come to those worst times, it doesn't even look like you've even been through a storm because you're so connected with them. Rather than you falling apart like a $2 suitcase, it's good to come to church when you need Jesus in your life, but it's good to come to church when everything good is going in your life. It's good to read the word. Continue to plant. Continue to grow. Don't worry about the latest news out there. Why? Because it's going to change. It's temporary. It's subject to change. We focus not on the temporary things. We put our focus, our laser focus, on what's eternal. And what's eternal is knowing Jesus, spending time with him. What's in your life that's taking up so much more of your time that you don't necessarily need it? It's not going to help you in eternity. I'm not saying you can't do it. Well, school, I don't need school. All the good, your kids say, I don't need school. No, you do. But you can actually have a third grade education and know the word pretty good, and God can help fulfill some things in your life that you never thought education would, because he has infinite wisdom. But go to school. Paul basically says, I am better than you in every way, shape, or form, and yet it's not about what I have done in the flesh that has saved me. It's about what Jesus has done for me and me placing my trust, my faith, my and wholehearted into Jesus. See, the thing is, the world can't define you. They'll try to define you. They'll try to put some label on you, what have you. They can't define you because Jesus already has defined you. He's already put that label on you, so to speak. Your past doesn't define you. So like we said a couple weeks ago, drop the corpse. Doesn't define you. Paul didn't allow it to define him. Why are you allowing your past to define you? Paul literally had them, had women and children locked up, gave consent to Stephen's death. Listen, being stoned to death isn't a fast death. I mean, you're going to say ouch one or two times when a rock is coming at you. And he stood there and gave consent to them stoning Stephen. But he's saying, I wrong no man. I don't remember that person anymore. That person died. You got to let those things die. The things that are holding you up, tripping you up, keeping you from moving forward, you got to let it die. That's not you. See, I'm not that mute boy that was in ninth grade that, you know, when I played a mute for several months. That's not me. Even though it was funny. That wasn't me. That person died. You're not that alcoholic that used to sitting around drinking, playing beer pong. That's not you. That's your old man. He says, yeah, Pastor Tim. If Paul got past his past, why are you spending so much time on yours? That may not be for everyone, but this one could be. Here's the thing. Why are you spending so much time on other people's past? But you don't know what happened to me, Pastor Tim. You don't know what happened. I don't. God does. God does. He says in Luke 17, he says this. Jesus says this. There will always be temptations to sin, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? It would be better to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. That's how much Jesus cares about you. He's saying it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck than someone to cause you to sin, for you to miss it. In those areas. See, Jesus paid the price to set you free from all the things that you may put yourself into bondage. He paid the price. You don't have to pay the price anymore. He paid it. So you have to let go of the hurt. It's kind of like the monkey bar syndrome or swing, you know, if you played on the monkey bars. We used to play basketball on the monkey bars. Those are the best ones ever. Get the small balls. And you just dunk. But if you're hanging on the monkey bars, in order to move forward that way, you got to do what? You got to let go. And then swing on over to the other one. Then you got to let go. And then swing on. Each time you get to the one, it's going to be a hurt right there. It's going to be some pain. It's going to be a storm. But you got to let go and then swing on to the other one. You keep holding on to it. You're just going to be just rocking back and forth. I ain't going nowhere. Are you ever going to get anywhere? Because you're too busy rocking. Thinking you Michael Jackson. Rock with me. When you depend more on your ability to maneuver out of situations, laugh your way through pain, lie to yourself over and over and over again that it never happened, when you put more dependency on the flesh than you do in Jesus, you just end up putting on a mask that Jesus died to take off of you. And you don't have to be that person anymore. So when you get in the presence of God, make sure your heart posture is towards Jesus. He knows it. People may not know it. We can, again, we can fool people, but God knows it. Jesus says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We don't want him to ever say that about us. We want our hearts to be towards Jesus. Every single time we get into his presence, Lord, he knows what you already done. He knows what you're thinking, what you're getting ready to say. Might as well say it. See, you don't no longer have to say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You can now say, I used to live in sin, just like the world, but God is so rich in mercy. He loved me so much that he gave me life when he raised Jesus from the dead. I am now united with Christ Jesus. I used to be far off, but now I have been brought near to him by the blood of Jesus. In Acts 17, it says this, for in him we live and move and exist. And some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Paul took this truth from some of the poets of those days and in order to appeal to his listeners. He says, we are his offspring. There's a story about Jordan. If you watched Michael Jordan, not my nephew, and how he sticks his tongue out when he's playing and stuff. They said he got it from his dad because when he's working on his car, he's like, you know, sticks his tongue out and stuff. And he was his dad's offspring. We are God's offspring. We're part of who he is. His DNA is in us in every which way. So it's your children's is your offspring. If you don't like what they're doing, check the mirror. I don't know why you like this. Honey, you are like that. Okay. See, it's when we are truly spending time with him is when we find out who we really are. If you've lost your identity somewhere down the line, I'm going to tell you, go spend some time with Jesus. And you'll find it. You'll find him. He'll find you. And you will come to a full understanding of what he's really about. So let go. Don't be rocking on those monkey bars anymore. Swing on through. Then you can graduate to the upper ones where you're going to have to climb up a ladder and get to it. But it's the same process. You go to another level, there's going to be more pain, more hurt, more storms. Storms, did I say storms? Country now. But you also, you're going to have to let go. So whatever you got going on right now, just let it go. Just let it go. God, I receive what you have for me. You're not that person anymore. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. But Father God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for all you've done. Lord, we thank you for your this series, Lord. It's really an identity series. We're going to get into the more than conquerors. We trust in you, Lord. We put our faith in you. Help us to just take that mask off in our lives every single day. I know sometimes we may be tempted to put it back on, but it doesn't have to be a part of us anymore. That we could be real, we could be genuine, we could be authentic, not just with you, but with our families, with our friends, in every which way so that people can see us through you. See you through us, Lord, and we just thank you for that. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.